Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Charlton's front two have scored 10 between them already. It's only September. That normally happens in April. Welcome to Charlton Live. A very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here as we get ready to look back at yesterday's superb last-ditch 2-1 win against Plymouth Argyle is Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Very good.
Yeah, you well? You happy?
Don't really know how to cope with all these wins.
Yeah, I know. It's an unusual situation.
Unnerving.
I mean, don't know. Unnerving. Well, I'm struggling with it, I have to admit. And yeah. We'll get through it together. Joining the two of us, Mr. Terry Smith, how are you doing, Tal?
Very good evening. I'm as good as everybody.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, I'd say even better in some ways.
Well, you're very kind.
Yeah. No, I was joking. And also making his first appearance of the season is Mr. Paul Crisp. Crispy, how's it going?
Very well, mate. Bar a bruised knee from celebrating Carlin's winner.
That's the danger. That's the danger of last minute goals. they can injure you, and they have taken another victim there in Crispy. Good to have you in the studio, Crispy. Good to have you all listening. Yesterday it was a superb 2-1 win over Plymouth Argyle. We're going to hear the highlights momentarily. We're also going to hear our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer after the game. He came in to speak to Terry. We want to hear what you guys had to say about that victory. Plenty of you have got in contact already. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say as well. We want to know what you made of the performance, what you're making of this winning run. If you could think of a way to stop our front two, I mean, you'd be a better manager than everyone else in League One, but let us know if you could. Anything you want to say. Also, later on in the show, the women's team had a superb 2-2 draw up at Durham earlier on today in their second championship match. We're going to hear from Amelia Ritchie. She scored the equaliser about 5 minutes from time as well, a late goal from there, so we're going to hear from her as well. But before we hear the highlights, Tom, it was just looking like, you know, with a couple of minutes left, it was looking like it's going to be one of the most frustrating afternoons we've had down here at the Valley for a long while.
Yeah, I as I just said before we came on air, I never felt like we weren't going to win that game. So even at the end, I still felt that chance was going to come. And it did, luckily. But yeah, we dominated. I mean, the shots, the corners, the possession, they all tell the story of the game, really. I thought we started very slowly and they had maybe 15 minutes in the second half where they looked a little bit more dangerous. But aside from that, again, not not necessarily our most impressive performance, but yet again we've got a victory out of maybe playing not as well as we could do. So yeah, very pleasing afternoon.
I made that the third game we've won so far this season with a goal within the last 5 minutes. If you look at Shrewsbury at home, Southend away, and of course yesterday. So it is something. Remember last season we had that habit of conceding goals late. It's nice to see it's actually turned around for us, Crispy.
Yeah, and we had it the first game of the season as well at Sunderland, didn't we? So yeah. You thought, yeah, it's good to get a couple of late winners, and those points could be crucial come the end of the season. So I think for me, it's just really it's great to see a team fight until the end, playing good football. And as Bowie has said in his press conference, they weren't lumping it in those last 10 minutes. We were playing the way we want to play, and we got our just rewards.
And Terry, this momentum that's building up, I mean, it's not... I mean, Bay has said it over the last couple of weeks, like he promised we'd start to pick up wins as we got players back, and, well, he's delivering.
Well, he is, and he's doing it in spite of other players dropping out. I mean, we're getting players back, and we're losing them as fast as we're getting them. So being able to maintain the performance levels and maintain, obviously, the victories, four on the bounce, is a great result. And all of that, and they're saying, you know, anybody you speak to of the team or Lee Bowyer, says that, yeah, we haven't really played that well yet, but we're still winning. And you're thinking, well, you know, and they're probably right. And the first half against Bradford, we were outstanding. In patches yesterday, we were outstanding and unplayable through that midfield. Mm-hmm. But there were times, and that's probably down to, you know, the fact that Piercy had to play on the wrong side for him at that centre-half pairing. And so they did look a little nervous when Plymouth came at us, and you've got to give them credit for that, they did. So when you consider what is asked of them and what is expected of them, and according to the top people we haven't delivered yet, it bodes very well.
Certainly does. Right, let's have a listen. back to the highlights on Valley Pass yesterday. Greg Stubley and Terry Smith took us through another entertaining afternoon here at the Valley.
Ramirez trying to turn and swings the ball across here to Grant. Grant on the left, attacking the corner of the penalty area on the Charlton right. Thought about a shot, now he takes it, swings it across. It's a header and it's a goal by Ramirez. No, that's Carey, I beg his pardon. And Plymouth are 1-0 up.
Oh, totally against the run of play. It's almost a bizarre goal from a joint Charlton perspective, because they've been on top the opening 8 minutes. But they gave Plymouth far too much room on the both sides. The ball in from Grant, he was able to cut in and cross it to the back post. It's a perfectly timed cross. And Charlton just couldn't close down the header, which I think might have been Carey.
Lewis Page on Carey, on Lewis Page, just got over the top of him. Page is arguing that he fouled him in the process. Referee having none of it. And Plymouth, after 9 minutes, are a goal up, having virtually the first attempt that they've had anywhere near us. And Charlton get back on level terms immediately. Obviously, the sooner the better, as far as the Addicts are concerned. And once again, Plymouth have everybody back in the penalty area. Page, the only man back for the Addicts, just the other side of the centre circle, as Reeves prepares to take this corner from the Charlton right-hand side. Ball deep, it's up towards Pierce, he gets his head there! It's no goal! I think that was put in by Grant. And Charlton have responded immediately.
Oh, what a bizarre goal, but Charlton will take it! After being 1-0 down, an immediate response, it's a deep ball in. The goalkeeper, Macy, be so disappointed. He couldn't get near the ball. Pierce with a header back into the six-yard box. And I think you're right. I think Grant got the final touch. I'm not quite sure whether it was Grant or defender. Well, Plymouth are complaining. It was a bizarre goal from Charlton's point of view, but we're equal.
And Aribo's going to have to complete the clearance, and does so. Does superbly well. Aribo beats one man, goes past Liberis as if he's not there. Now he goes past Smith-Brown like he's not there. Looking for runners, provided by Taylor. Taylor towards the corner of the penalty area, taking on Wootton. Ball across, back to Aribo in the penalty area. Oh, the shot ricochets over Songoa and over for a corner, and that deserved the goal. Superb work from Joe Aribo.
Down the line to Reeves, lovely 1-2. Solly side to Grant. Nice. It's a lovely dummy to Jamie Ward. Ward turns, looks for a bit of space. Ward, ball to Reeves. Reeves thinks about a shot. Colin effort! Ooh. Oh, just wide. A great effort from Ben Reeves, who showed a little bit of intelligence. Saw the keeper was more adapting to his left-hand side and thought, I can curl it into the top left-hand corner. It wasn't too far off.
Solly now looking for the run of Taylor down the line. Taylor can control it, edge of the pounds here. Ball in the box to Grant. Great first touch. Grant back in the box, and it comes to Solly. Of all people, Solly goes down.
Yes.
It's a penalty. The challenge came in for Sarcevic. Solly got to the ball first. The referee had judged it to be a penalty.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it is. It wasn't the most cynical of tackles, and he didn't really mean it. Tried to slide in and it was just the awareness of Ward to get there first, lifted the ball sort of with his toes over the sliding Ocevic, who just then the follow through took Ward out. Or I mean, Ward accepted the challenge. Solid. Clear. Was it Solly? Biggest pardon, Solly.
Oh no, you'd expect it to be Ward.
Yeah, biggest pardon, was Solly. It was some lovely football again from Charlton to open Plymouth up. Taylor on the Charlton right hand side made the run, lost his man, and it started to move into the box. I think I'm prepared to see it again and maybe say it was a bit harsh, but in the first look it looked a penalty all day long.
As Lyle Taylor steps up for Charlton, 36 minutes played, can he make it 2-1 to the Addicts? Lyle Taylor waiting for the referee who blows his whistle. Taylor, slow run up, steps up and strikes or saves. The ricochet's come off the bar. Grant has hit the side netting and Charlton have blown a chance to go up.
Good save, you've got to give the keeper credit for that. He hit it hard, did Taylor, and you'd normally expect him to necessarily in the back of the net, but give the keeper some credit. Good strong arm, flick onto the roof of the crossbar, onto the crossbar rather. And Grant, it was an impossible angle to try and finish it, but Plymouth have got away with one there.
Short pass and gets it from Ward, he's made a good run, looks at the 1-2 of Grant and gets it back. Jamie Ward in the penalty here. Ward, can he chip it over the goalkeeper? It's good save from the keeper, comes back to Grant. Oh, the keeper blocks it again and Ward was just waiting for the goalkeeper to go down, and credit to Macy who stayed strong. To Cullen, and there is the half-time whistle. As Charlton be a bit disappointed to be going into the break level. Plymouth take the corner short to Lemires, ball in to Grant. Grant shooting chance, oh, it's deflected off Solly and then off the bar. It's an important touch off Solly's thigh and Taylor's able to clear. So they look to pass it short, actually comes out to Page on the edge of the box, shoots, is coming to penalty. Rebo shoots, deflection, comes to Pierce, goes down. Pierce claiming the penalty, referees having none of it. And Plymouth are able to clear their lines.
Heads it forward from the dropping ball and Ward gets there first and he's released. Grant into the edge of the penalty area, he's in the penalty area now. Can he get a ball across? No, he can't. And Taylor was in acres of space in the six-yard box and he couldn't slide it across. And it's in the side net. Ball into the box, a good one into Taylor. It's a turn from Taylor to the byline and it's blocked away by Edwards for a Charlton corner.
Superb work from Taylor. It's a lovely ball inside by Page, but Taylor showed his strength to turn his man. They're taking it quickly.
Quickly into Cullen. Taylor goes for the return. Instead, Cullen goes to Page on the left. Takes a shot, Page. Deflection! Off the post! And then cleared away by Smith Brown for the corner.
It took an age to hit the post. It looked like it might have been creeping in. Page has deflected his shot. The goalkeeper was left roofless. Left stranded, should
Grant,
I say.
He goes across to Reeves. Reeves has got Page out to his left. Page. Smith Brown trying to close him down. Back inside it comes to Reeves. Instant ball into the box. Taylor's there. So is Vitticelli. It drops to Grant.
Yes! Come on!
Grant has buried the goal that could give Charlton the 3 points. Lovely work from Reeves. Ball out to Page. Back into Reeves. First time ball into the box. Vitticelli made an absolute mare of his header. But it drops to Carlo Grant, who buries it for Charlton.
And they deserve it, Terry. They really deserve it, the Addicts. They kept probing and probing. They would not let Plymouth come away with a point as it stands. It's a great ball in from Rees. What a delivery that was from Ben Rees. As you say, Vitticelli be a bit disappointed that his header wasn't even goal-bound in the end. But it's turned out to be an assist for Grant, who stayed alive, was able to convert, and Charlton ahead.
Carlin Grant bags his second of the game and Charlton second of the game. Long ball out, I make it 3 minutes up now, and that is the final whistle. Charlton have bagged all 3 points here at the Valley.
Oh yes, it feels just as good second time round. A late winner for the Addicts. Carlin Grant with his brace. We forgot to even mention that we missed a penalty. We keep saying, like, in all the euphoria of that late winner, we forgot that we had missed a penalty. Interesting stat, in each of the last 9 meetings between Charlton and Plymouth, at least one side has scored exactly twice. So there's always been at least 1-2 in the last 9 meetings. So yeah, tell your mates at work that tomorrow morning. 4 wins in a row, Tom. That momentum is... the Charlton train is chuffing along nicely.
It is, yeah. And I didn't realise that we'd won 4 in a row at a similar stage last year as well.
Yeah.
And then watched the highlights today, they mentioned it. And I don't want to bring the mood down, because obviously that season tailed off a little bit. But this season it does feel different. The squad, whilst not necessarily bigger, looks stronger. The players are just on fire. And I think McGuinness was our top goal scorer, wasn't he, last year with 10 goals. And we've got 2 players on 5 already. So as I say, it feels different. I don't think we've performed brilliantly. We have in little patches, but not for a full game. And we're still picking up results.
I mean, how different is it this time around, Crispy? That whereas last season there might be tight games where we're getting the odd half chance. I mean, clearly we're creating a lot of chances, but having a striker who's going to score two in one game, and if he don't do it, the other one will probably do it anyway. I mean, it makes such a difference where there is games where we're creating chances that we actually have someone who's going to put at least one of them away.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it? That's for sure. I couldn't be happier for Carlin. The loan move to Crawley last year has obviously done major things for him, and he's come back and he's now in absolute form. I didn't think it was Carlin's best game, to be honest, in regards to the actual performance during it. I thought he's been better in other games, but he got the two goals and he was on the spot at the end there. So yeah, couldn't be happier for him. And obviously, if he's not there, then Taylor's going to score as well. But he didn't do it yesterday with the pen. But there you go.
Yeah, and you can hear the relief in your voices, Tell, and on the commentary. Relief is one way of putting it, I guess. But it would have been a bit of a travesty if we hadn't won that game.
Oh, absolutely. And Tom said earlier that he felt confident that a goal was coming. I was less so, I've got to be honest. I think, especially after that effort off the bar, off the post.
Pages'
effort that deflected off the post, I thought, oh, here we go. So I probably wasn't as confident, which is why the screams went in when Carlin didn't bag it. And I echo what Crispy said, I think. Also, that the fact that opposition teams are coming against a side like Charlton that have got threats from, and not just the strikers, by the way, you know, we've got threats from a lot of areas. Yeah. And they're going to find it difficult to be able to nullify every single one. And don't forget, when Tariq's back, there's another one.
Yeah.
So, going forward, we're going to be frightening if it clicks.
Yeah, because people were saying, because Tariq is back from his suspension next week, and does he slot straight into the team? Because do you change a winning team at this moment in time?
Nope. No, I'd leave him on the bench for Saturday for me, and then you've got 20 minutes to go, half an hour to go. He's the guy that can come on and change it, like I think he did at Southend before he got sent off. That was a great performance yesterday for me, and you don't change it. I thought Jamie Ward did a good job. You can see what he's going to bring to the team. Yeah, Reevesy had his best game in a Charlton shirt, I think. So, yeah, no need to change it for Saturday.
we were chatting away, me and Amy were chatting as we were coming away from the game after, and she mentioned, winning from behind. And I said, it feels like ages since we did that. She said, the last home game, we also did that as well. So that's two home games in
you
a row.
Stats yesterday. Yeah.
I put out a fake stat on Twitter in the morning as well about the last time a player scored for four games in a row was back in 2011, before Greg pointed out it was last season. It was really fussy. So I had to delete that one and put my tail between my legs. But, Carrick, you're going to get games where you fall behind, you have to show a bit of character, and it helped this week that we came back almost straight away. But there's no dropping of the heads when we go a goal behind now.
Yeah, and again, that again feels different from sides in recent seasons. I think there was an air of, if we fell behind the last few years, we weren't coming back, and we'd go a goal down and that was it, and you just have to wait for the game to end. And now you don't feel like that. That goal yesterday came completely against the run of play. And yes, we got back immediately, but we just looked straight away. The crowd didn't change. They kept singing. Everything just carried on. It was reminiscent of like that Cardiff game, which I know was 10 times worse, the situation we were in there. But the fact that nobody really cared that they'd scored, it was just like, oh, that's annoying. Well, let's go and get ourselves level. And it is character. And you can see the harmony and the squad, the character in the squad and the way they were working together. And Boya's done really well to get that, because if you look at where it's been over the last few years, it's been so far away from that. I think Carl Robinson did a good job of bringing some of that back, and I think Boya's taken that on and made it even more impressive.
I mean, let's talk about that opening goal that came for Plymouth. It was a deep cross, I think, from Lemirez on this near side and over to Graham Carey on the far post. Now, I mean, judging by Lewis Page's defending and reaction to it, I generally don't think he realised that Graham Carey was there behind him.
No, I thought he got knocked out, Pagey, to be honest. The way he just stayed down, it was more embarrassment, I think, than he realised that he left him and he got in at the front post. Well, sorry, ahead of him. But yeah, it wasn't the best bit of defending from Pagey.
Wasn't his best game yesterday, if we're being honest.
No. But he's played nine games on the trot now, which is his longest run he's played for a long while. So, and he had a slight injury, I believe, apparently.
Yeah,
so,
Terry got out of a...
At some point during the game yesterday, I mentioned it on comms that he was just holding his groin.
Right.
And it was sort of...
Well, so was I at full time.
That's another story. Did the police come in? So I just saw him, and it was at the same time that, we had a couple of walking wounds. I think Carlin also I think he'd had a dead leg in the first half, and he always also seemed to be limping away. So I just happened to mention it, and so I thought I'd ask Bo about him. I won't spoil the fun of revealing what he's going to say later. But whether, I mean, to be fair though, I don't think that had any bearing on the fact that he got beaten up for the goal.
But yeah, just to me, it looked like he completely was oblivious to the fact that Carey was floating around at that far post, and the header gets planted in. But as I said a minute ago, it's so important to react as soon as possible. Now, Derek Adams, when he came in yesterday, he had a lot to say actually, but he was claiming there was a foul on the goalkeeper when the corner came over. Now, I've looked back at it, I can't say I've seen anything. He went over to the far post where Piercy knocked it back into the air, and then Carlin was on hand to just scoop it home. Did anyone see any foul or anything?
Seemed to go into the defender more than anything, his own defender. So, didn't look like it for me.
We crowded him. And that caused a bit of confusion in the box, but I don't think the strange thing about that though was, I don't know if you noticed, after they clearly complained about it a lot, the referee pretty much blew every time the ball went in the box after that.
There was a lot of that when the free kicks were coming over there. Also, when the goal went in, there did seem to be a couple of pauses in the players' celebrations. So there was a little bit of me that wondered if the goal had been ruled out, but it wasn't. And then, you know, that's when we started to grow back into the game, because we had the first five or six minutes in possession of the ball. They got their goal against the run of play. Then we came back into it, and I mean, obviously we had the penalty, but there's plenty of other chances as well in that first half, Tom, and we did certainly look like we were turning it on again.
Yeah, and like Terry said earlier, that was some of our best football of the season yesterday. And as I said, we haven't done it for full games necessarily, but we have shown in spells what we're capable of. And I think it was Crispy said earlier as well, when that clicks and when we start to get that together, then that's frightening, because at the moment we're not, and we're still winning games, and that's four in a row. And yeah, I mean, I don't really understand what Derek Adams saw in yesterday's performance, because I thought we dominated them, not quite start to finish, but pretty much the majority of the game. And as you say, we're just creating chance after chance. The midfield just looks so assured, and Aribo had one of his best games, Reeves had a good game, Cullen I thought really held them together well, and it all worked. And when it comes together like that, because we were a bit worried about the fact that Bauer was going to be out and we were going to have to play this diamond and we couldn't play three at the back, and how was it going to work, and actually it worked fine.
In regards to the diamond, ever since we've been Barrier in charge, we've played the diamond quite a few times, including that first game against Plymouth. That's the best football I've seen us play when we're in that diamond.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I noted the forward players come wide for it quite a bit in the diamond. Yeah. I saw a couple of comments on the forum saying, "Oh, they have to come," but that is because you're not playing with wingers, so you need that. You need one of your forward players to come out to the wing, and then everyone else will get into the box anyway. So it does work quite well. Joe Aribo, sort of 10 minutes after we equalised, he nearly took part in a bit of an excellent goal. He picked it up pretty much on the edge of our area and came away with it and played a 1-2 and gone to the box. It's just his finish, which wasn't quite there, unfortunately.
I think it was cream crackered. That's what it was. There was no finish at the end, but you are desperate for him to score that. I think if you, you'd have taken the winning goal and multiplied the mentality by about 50, because I'm sure I'd have screened the place down if that ball had gone in. Picking that up deep in our own half and then creating it all by himself. A couple of little 1-2s. And a lot of that was working well yesterday. Aribo, Reeves, Ward, there was that Cullen, the interplay between them all, the one touch football, and they all seem to know where each other are going to be. Including Chris Solly, I thought, as well, who was linked up quite a few times in that. And it was just some of the best midfield football I'd seen for a while.
Evening to Ray, by the way, on the Charlton Live Forum. Says, "Evening, gents. Proper old school Charlton fan is our Terry. While everyone else is getting swept along in the euphoria, Terry says, Grant has scored what could be the winner." Because I think you knew this, because there was still something that could have happened.
I've been here before, yeah, clearly.
Right, so we saw that one from Reevesy that we heard from the on the commentary there. Lovely sort of lifted it with his left foot curler. Didn't quite drop in at the far post. It was only just after that we got the penalty. Now Solly burst in. We'd had the ball in and around the area already, but Solly burst in. Was it Lamirez or Sarkovic who took him out? Now, so Sarkovic dived in, and then as Solly jumped over him, he just seemed to stick his little leg up and just knock him over. And in the form he's in, you would have backed Lyle Taylor to score that 10 times out of 10, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, although it's hard to blame him for it, because it was a good save. It wasn't a bad penalty at all. I don't know why, but I always get nervous when we have penalties. I never feel confident. I don't know if it's because Jacko went on that run a few years ago, or even when we got that one at Sunderland on the opening day, I was a bit nervous. But yeah, luckily in the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter. It's just frustrating for him, because obviously he's been on this good goal-scoring run. But the important thing is that that someone's getting the goals, and it wasn't him yesterday. And I didn't think he had his best game, to be honest, Lyle, but we'll let him off that because, yeah, you can't expect him to fire on all cylinders every single game. Yeah, frustrating, but as I say, a good save from the keeper.
We are that rubbish at penalties, normally speaking. I tend to get nervous when I watch the replays, knowing we've scored.
Fair enough, yeah. Again, Derek Adams thought it wasn't a penalty. He came in and said it wasn't a penalty. There's something about Derek Adams, isn't he? I now understand why Chris Powell throttled him a couple of weeks ago.
I think throttled is putting it politely.
until I'd seen that... that press conference, I never really knew what it was about. But do you remember last year as well when he refused to do the lap of honour until because the last home game, because he said because we're going to get in the playoffs, and I mocked up a photo of him doing a lap of honour in an empty stadium after.
I think he's trying desperately to get the Peterborough job after the other fella gets
sacked. He got into an argument with Chris Errington, the guy we had on Thursday's show, the Plymouth journalist from the Plymouth Herald. So I wasn't actually in Bowyer's press conference. I did my interview separate to him, but in Bowyer's press conference, I think someone, either the journalist or Bowyer himself, said, "Oh, we had 23 shots," which is what it said on the BBC stats. That's how many shots Charlton had. You don't normally go after a game and just count all the shots so we can give it to the manager. But because it was brought up, Chris Errington then asked, and he was actually framing the question as, you know, your side, you know. Charlton had 23 shots and however many corners, but I think the framing of the question was you defended really well, so therefore it was actually quite heartbreaking that. But Adams just turned around and went, "How many shots did we have?" And Chris was, "Oh, I didn't have that to hand." And he was like, "Well, you're the Plymouth journalist, you should know this." It's like, just sore loser, really, wasn't he? So Wardy had that chance as well, went through, tried to dink it, but a good save. Started the second half. Now, again, I thought we started the second half perhaps slightly slower, and it was Plymouth that came out probably quicker from the blocks after the interval.
Yeah, they hit the crossbar, didn't
they? Yeah, with Joel Grant.
Yeah, we were a bit slow to it. I mean, they did quite a few corners where it was just a short one, wasn't it? Yeah. And that led to the shot that hit the bar, which got a massive deflection, I think, as well. So thank God for that. But after that, it seemed to stir us up a bit for the last half hour.
Yeah, because as the game then progressed past that, it was then again, it was us. We were very much in the ascendancy. We're trying to think which one's the best chance to go for first. Grant had an effort. This effort from Grant just for the hour, I think this colours what happened later on in the game. So Grant was slipped away by Taylor, very tight angle, and he tried to square, because don't forget he's been told after Accrington a few weeks ago you can't always shoot, sometimes you need to square. There's no one there. Yeah. So then when later on in the game he tried to shoot when he had to square, I just wonder if that was in the back of his mind, "I've already wasted one by squaring it, I'm not going to do that again." Do you think that could have been in his thoughts?
I'll tell you what more in his thoughts was, "I better score after that." because I think if he hadn't got that second goal, I think Bowes would have given him pelters when he came back. I looked down from the comms position down at Bowyer. He was going absolutely ballistic that he didn't cross it. I think part of the problem with that was he wanted to cross it, but I think probably he didn't think he had the right angle to get it back across to Taylor. And by the time he'd made his mind up to think about it too much, maybe, the angle had gone, so he didn't have a lot of choice after that. But if he'd have done it instantly, which is easy to say in hindsight, of course.
So what you'd have done when you tell.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'd have watched the ball as it waved over the touchline from about 50 yards.
that chance there was about 10 minutes from the end where Grant had been set away and Taylor was screaming for it in the middle. Before then, we'd seen two or three times the ball flash across the face of goal, shots from the edge of the box that was hacked away or cleared. I think Aribo had one from a corner that was cleared. Igor's coming on, 10 minutes left to go. We're clearly going for it because he didn't take off either of the two strikers, did he? He took off one of the, it was Wardy he took off, I think, from memory.
Yeah, Ward off on it.
We're clearly going for it. Plymouth even had a go. But then 5 minutes from the end, corner gets taken out quickly to Pagey. We've tried that a couple of times, actually. Pagey, again, it wasn't his best shooting day yesterday either. And this one, he didn't seem to catch it that well, but it's just looped up off a defender. The keeper's planted Matt Macy to the floor. Everyone in the ground's holding their breath, and you're just seeing when it's going to drop. And when it drops on the post, for 5 minutes left, I thought, nah, that's not going to happen for us after that today.
Time stopped, didn't it?
Yeah.
This is when
it took forever.
What was the noise you made, Tom?
Oh, I'm not even going to try to beat it, but I made some weird noise because it looped up, and I thought, oh, that's going wide. And then because it took so long, you go, no, it's not going wide, that's going in, it's going in. And I sit right behind it, and then it hit the post. I was so annoyed.
Yeah, and like I say, that was the moment I thought it weren't going to happen, but. And I like this from Ben Reeves now, his part to the goal. Now you'll read it properly tomorrow, but he was sort of saying because it was a first time cross from Reevesy, which doesn't always do. Sometimes he likes to take a touch, but he said he'd seen something on the TV during the week about someone hitting a first time cross and it not giving the defenders a chance to get ready and get in his position. So he said it was in his, he said these, that TV show, whatever it was in his mind. I wonder, it must have been on Monday Night Football or something, but
first, not EastEnders then.
No, no, well, I don't know. They do like to delve into football every now and then, but not
Dan
that
Dyer first time
yeah.
cross.
And he hit it, and then Igor Vetekele, I mean, he's God bless him.
What an assist.
Yeah, he's still not quite got his scoring boots back on just yet. And
he's got the most productive left ear in the team.
Yeah, well, he sort of headed it into his own balls, and it rolled into the path of Carlin. And, I mean, Carlin Grant's never going to miss that. I mean, it's just the one time that Plymouth have actually left a man unmarked in that far out, and brilliant goal, the superb tantrum from the defender who should
have, that was great.
Yeah, whose mate should have been marking him. And my goodness, man, we heard it on the commentary. We all went absolutely mental because it was just so much relief as well. Because, like I say, it would have been an absolute travesty if we hadn't won that game.
That was the feeling, yeah. And often the biggest celebration like that is when your expectation is lowest. So if you're being battered by a team and then you snatch a goal, then that's a good feeling. But when you've battered a team and just can't get it through, as you say, then the euphoric feeling is more out of relief and just thank God we finally did it, and it was completely deserved. We deserved to win the game hands down. It just took a long time coming, but the whole ground sounded like Terry did, like you did in your commentary. Everyone was just relieved, and credit to Carlin again, because we've talked a few times about Taylor being in the right place at the right time, and Carlin's never really struck me as that sort of player, but there he was on the edge of the area, knew what Vetekele was going to do. Maybe knocked it down to him. And,
I wonder if he's done that in training.
Yeah, and there he was. And as you say, he couldn't have missed from there.
You say about Carlin saying, you know, never going to miss from there. Two seasons ago, probably would have.
Yeah. So fair point. Very fair point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you
very
know,
very fair point. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Bo said it. I think you said it at the top of the show. He's saying like this spell that Crawley had last season where he got his 9 goals. I think we were seeing a better Carlin Grant at start of last season. I remember away at Oldham, he was up top on his own, he didn't score, but I remember thinking he actually looked a bit more lively, and he just started getting a couple of goals, didn't he? Got that equaliser against Peterborough with his first league goal, got a couple in FA Cup and the Checker trade or whatever it is, all the important goals for him, and you could just see that something was just starting to click, and maybe that run at Crawley has clearly added to that and made him the player he is today. But I do think we were seeing signs of that just before he left as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also we're seeing the Carlin Grant that burst into the side, four and a half years ago, and then got hung out to dry by Bob Peters by being played in up front on his own in an awful team.
Yeah.
That completely ruined him for the best part of 4 years. So you know, anybody that saw him in the youth teams realised, you know, what a good player he is and wow, we've got a talent, and he got thrown in and it disappeared completely. But then, having said that, in the previous couple of years, he's been on fire in the under-23s as well. So we knew it's there.
Mm.
It's just having the confidence to be able to transfer the first team shirt
weighs a lot heavier, doesn't it, than the 23 shirt. Now, the problem with scoring in the 88th minute rather than the 96th minute is there's still plenty of time to concede, and there was a couple of hairy moments in particular. Who was it who had the volley? From
David Fox, wasn't it?
The substitute David Fox had the volley.
I thought it was in.
Yeah, from where we were, it hit the stanchion and rolled across the back of the net. There was cheers in the Plymouth end from sort of like the southwest corner of the stand. I thought that was in. I thought my day had been ruined. So I was pleased when it didn't. There was even pretty much one of the last things that happened, I think, was Graham Carey's or someone having a shot that Steer did well to hold on to. But a relief at the end of the game, a fourth win in a row, 5 unbeaten now. Derek Adams unhappy, therefore everyone's happy.
Good day all round.
Yeah. Don't forget, we want to hear what you guys thought of yesterday's performance. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum as well. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Now we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer. He came in to speak to Terry after the game. As you can imagine, he was quite pleased with the way that his side fought all the way to the end.
It's amazing what a goal does. We could have had 3, 4, 5, 6. Like, it's the amount of times they just threw their body in front of shots. Jarrah Rebo could have had 3 in another day. Carlin could have had 3. Lowell could have had 2. Waldy maybe could have had a couple. So, but the most pleasing thing for me is they keep going and going to the end. Said before, they don't really last season we didn't really score late goals, you know, and I think that's their fitness. They're showing how fit they are and how much belief they have. And they keep passing and receiving it in tight areas and they're not fazed by anything, you know. They just keep going and going. And I've just said to them, like, you should be proud of yourselves because I'm definitely proud of them because they just kept going and going. And the crowd helped so much. They was unreal from start to finish again. And I said to the lads, like, that's all they want. That's all crowd will ask for. You give them 100%, that's all they ask for. Anything else is a bonus. You see that against Peterborough when we lost and they stayed behind and they clapped all the lads off and sung them and they've just done the same again today. And the players are in a good place at the moment. Like, I've just witnessed on Thursday, me and Jacko just witnessed a keep ball session that we do. They was unreal, like unreal. And so I wasn't surprised on how well they passed it and moved it today because we see it every day. And we were just unlucky not to score more goals, you know. So, but you have to give Plymouth credit. They're a good side. They're not bottom team. Like, they came here, they've got good players. And they made it difficult for us at times, you know. But they didn't come there and sit there, backs to the wall. Towards the end, they did last 15 because they was under so much pressure. But I give credit to their players and their manager because to come and try and do what they've done is win the game, and I respect them for that.
Caught with a sucker punch on 9 minutes after a great start, putting them under pressure. You must have been delighted that we came straight back in it. Within 3 minutes, we're back on level terms. How important was that?
It's very important to quickly get back on level terms. Like you said, it was a sucker punch. I don't think they entered our box before then. We was just all over them, and then the most pleasing thing for me is that we're scoring set pieces again, you know, like we was quite strong at them last season, and Jacko and Brett, they work hard on them, looking at the other team and their strengths and weaknesses in set plays. So that was definitely something that we'd worked on. Jacko had worked on it. I don't really get involved on the set piece side of things, but Jacko, yeah, they've been working hard on that, and it's rewarding, you know, to score a set piece. They're like bonus goals, aren't they? And then to see Carlin score late on there, Vetter Kelly come on and worked hard. So yeah, I think overall we've got 3 points. We've climbed in the league again, and we'll keep going until take each game as it comes.
23 shots, I think we had, and so you'd expect out of those 23 shots for at least a couple to go in, and so it worked out. But it took a little bit of a scuffed effort in the end. But Carlin, well, that's 5 now, same as Lyle Taylor. You've got strikers now, have got 10 goals between them. That must be a delight.
Yeah. And there's more to come from them. They're both in a good place at the moment. And like I've said before, and I will keep saying it, I'll repeat myself a hell of a lot, I do. I know I do, but football is that simple. It's everybody else that makes it difficult. Like when I was a player, I can make things difficult at times. But the most important thing for me is that they're constantly looking for each other, you know. Lowell got in down that channel how many times and looked to square it for Carlin, and their defenders making last ditch tackles, and it just wouldn't even drop to us, kept dropping to them. And Carlin was doing the same, like breaking into the channel, looking to square it, looking to cut it back for it. And if they keep doing that, they're going to keep scoring goals, and they will both be 15, 20 goals each, I'd say, if they keep going the way they're going, because they're definitely looking good, and centre-halves are definitely scared of them.
Just desserts, because some of the movement, and as you mentioned earlier, the one-touch football and opening teams up, and then the movement of the front two ahead of the likes of Ward and Ben Rizzo, I thought that was outstanding today, and Joe Rebo, must be a delight to watch. But you want an end result, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. We work on all that in training every day, so they can do that. But yeah, of course, you want an end result, and you want 3 points, and you want as many goals. Like, I'd love to score 8 goals in a game. And I think there's going to be a game coming soon, and we're going to thump someone like 6. I can see it. It could have been that today. I'm not saying we deserve to win by 6, but we could have easily scored 6 goals today, easily. And I can see one of them games coming, like a bit like Northampton last year, you know, like it's all just going to come together and we're just going to go crash, bang, wallop, and they're just going to score a load of goals. It's going to happen. Because what I see every day in training, and if we keep moving the ball the way we do and creating and opening teams up like we've done today, it's just a matter of time, I think.
I think one thing I've noticed with this Charlton side specifically, and certainly since you've been in charge, is we had the penalty. Clear penalty, I think nobody would argue necessarily. Maybe a few Plymouth people will, but and you've got to give the keeper some credit. It was a decent stiff arm save that stopped the goal going in. I think Charlton sides in the past would have, you know, soul hit the boots and maybe slumped a little bit and allowed the opposition to then take us over, but we didn't allow that at all.
No, because they've got standards. I've got standards, and there's a demand, you know, and they know what it takes to win, and that's where they are at the moment. They know what it takes to win, and they have to win. Like, this is what I tell you, you have to win today. No draw, no lose, you have to win. And when you have that mentality, it has a knock-on effect to everybody. And they will keep going, and they deserve that today. Yeah, they could have stepped off it a little bit because of the penalty, but they will never do that. There'll be times when they might be a bit tired or stuff in games, but they will never just roll over. That won't happen.
With injuries, you had to ask Jason Pearce to operate on the right side, so now he can play on the left. So he must be delighted the way that worked out in the end. He obviously not his preferred side, but still did a superb job. And with the injuries, again, maybe last season we'd have suffered with that because we didn't have enough bodies to come in, or quality bodies to come in to replace them. But today, with the squad we've got now, it's less of an issue.
Yeah. I think Naby was outstanding. I think Pearce is your leader, you know. If you said to him, go and play as your number nine, he'd go and play and try his hardest and run around and chuck his body in a way like that. That's just Pearcey. So, yeah. And he's got good experience with Solly outside him as well. So, yeah, was it his most comfortable day, Pearcey? No. But he's going to make the odd mistake. It's like alien to him on that side, you know. But I think he was outstanding. He's a leader and he keeps driving the team on. So, like I said, I think that was all good today.
Might just be me, but I saw Carlin go down. Looked like he was carrying a bit of a knock. And also, Lewis Page seemed to be holding a groin at some point. Are they okay, or is they just walking wounded?
No. So Carlin, well, he keeps getting kicked. So obviously he's going to have some problems. I think he's got a bit of a dead leg he picked up in the first half. And Lewis Page has been playing with an injury for a while now, so he's got something wrong with his groin cum stomach. So we're trying to look after him the best we can, because that's the only position we don't really have cover for. And at last resort, you'd put Naby there. He's his cover, but now Naby's obviously playing centre half, so we can't even just rest Pagey. He needs a rest. He needs to come out and then let it settle down, whatever the problem is. But he can't. So he's obviously nursing something and he's getting through the pain. So now he ain't going to do nothing now until maybe Thursday, Friday next week. He's just got to come off and relax. He's been doing that the last few weeks, to be honest.
Will Christian Billick coming back give you a little bit more flexibility in that?
Well, I'm hoping he's going to be back. I was trying to push for him to maybe be on the bench today, and that didn't work out. So I'm hoping that sometime next week he comes and starts training with us. But I don't know if you can then, maybe he ain't ready to just be chucked in, like, you go and play centre half, maybe you go and play left back. Can't really do that. We've just got to nurse Pagey through it for a while. There's an international break coming up soon as well, so I think we're going to lose, well, we'll definitely lose the two Irish lads, Josh and Waldy. So I think Igor will probably get called up as well.
Maybe Lyle Taylor as well.
Maybe Lyle as well. So, yeah, so that would be maybe a chance where Pagey can have like a couple of weeks of complete rest.
Well, superb performance today. Great win. Into the top six, onto Luton, and hopefully going to the initial international break on a real high. Five on a bounce would be great.
Yeah, let's hope so.
How's it going, Ed?
He's got Grant inside of him. Use him as a decoy. Takes a shot. Oh, what a goal!
Come on! Oh, come on!
What a finish!
Come on!
Lyle Taylor, use Grant as a decoy. and a right foot shot from the right hand, well, the left hand edge of Charlton attack of the penalty area, absolutely arrowed into the top corner. O'Donnell had no chance at all, and Charlton are 2-0 up.
How's it going again?
You're listening to Charlton Live!
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Great to hear there from manager Lee Bowyer after yesterday's superb late 2-1 victory over Plymouth Argyle here at the Valley. We're just discussing, like, everything that he says comes to pass, doesn't it? Like, he promised we're getting the playoffs, and we did so. And he promised we'd start winning when players started coming back. He did so.
Yeah.
Unstoppable, man.
He talks about patience, you know, and transfers. Russell Slade doesn't happen, but with, with Lee it works, and he gets the right players in. So it's just, it's positive attitude. Just right, obviously, you know, it comes onto the players as well, and they're playing with such, you know, enjoyment by the looks of it, and working as a team, and fair play to Bowyer for difficult circumstances still in the club. He's doing a brilliant job.
Yeah, I would say if, like, if we get anywhere this season, it'd be remarkable, just considering how difficult it is behind the scenes. And, you know, we all know that it's clearly a much smaller budget that he's had to work with, but he has, you know, he's signed players at the right time. Lyle Taylor was available at that point, and he got him. He's a great striker. Mm-hmm. You know, he was patient for these loan players when we needed to be. And it is a small squad, but, I mean, he did say he'd get quality in over quantity, and that's what he's done.
I liken it a little bit, and I'm probably going to regret saying this now, but those of a certain age will remember Lenny Lawrence when in the mid-80s when we had to vacate the Valley and play that dump over the road. He managed to pull out a side from scraps that actually got promoted. Now, yeah. I'm not going anywhere near that, but you know what I mean? Bowyer's doing a similar sort of thing. He's managing to forget what's going on behind the scenes, forget all the turmoil that's surrounding the club, and actually concentrate on the playing side, get the players he wants to play, and get them playing and winning.
Yeah. Right, message on the forum from Bristol Addict. Replying to Ray's comment about your commentary, Terry, said the commentary of our winning goal played on BBC London yesterday was equally low key. The reporter Chappie is a credit to his profession. So now I've got an excuse to play it, haven't I?
Oh, there we go.
Every
thanks, Mum.
Yeah, every now and then, every now and then, professionalism. You let it go when there's just relief for a winning goal. So this is how I did it.
Yeah, that's a big win as far as the Leighton Orient are concerned. Whilst in League One, Charlton march on. They left it late to get all 3 points.
Reeves first time crossover towards the far post. Oh, he got Vetticale. Falls down to Carla Grant. He scored. Carla Grant with his second of the game wins it for the Addicts. It's Charlton 2, Plymouth 1.
See, the major difference in that between me and you is that I wasn't being attacked by some some dwarf with a knife.
that's later on, I think, when our friend turns over the guy who tweeted us. Let's have a start looking at some of the tweets that started coming in yesterday. Don't forget, if you want to have your say about yesterday's win, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can have us at Charlton Live Forum, where a couple of people have had their say already. Right, Chrissy T was the first person to get involved. He said 12 out of 12 points. Can't argue with that. Impressed with Josh Cullen yesterday. Delivery and passing was a different level. Think he only gave the ball away once. I don't think we've even mentioned Josh yet. Because everyone in the midfield played well yesterday, and he was certainly part of it.
No, it's the first time I got to see him play, and I was very, very impressed. I know he'd had two really good games at Southend and Bradford, wasn't it, and set up two goals. I think I tweeted Rich Cawley and said, as much as I love Forster Caskey, I feel like we've got a major upgrade on him, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
You know, he brings so much quality. He's one of those players that every time he got the ball, he looked like he had so much time. to then pick his pass, and we need that in the middle.
Yeah, he has looked good so far. I mean, I probably agree with you about the force of Kasky. The only thing I will say is, obviously, with Jake, we've seen him over a much longer course of time. We've only seen Josh three times so far, but he has looked good in every game so far. Chris added that good to see Reeves finally getting a run as well, one of his better games in a red shirt. We said the same after the Wickham game, that I think he played a half in the Wickham game when he finally actually got on after missing the start of the second half. But we thought that was his best game, and now maybe even an improvement again yesterday.
Yeah, both definitely very, very good performances, and it's the Reeves we thought we'd signed back when Carl brought him in. Took him obviously a while to get up to speed, and then a couple of injuries have set him back as well. But yeah, he just looks now like he's got more time on the ball than he did last year, and that might just be a confidence thing. He might just be the pace that he's up to, but he just looks more assured. It might just be the positions and the formation we're playing just really suit him.
I think the style of play is exactly that. I mean, I think the way we're playing through the midfield, instead of knocking it across the back four for a best part of an hour and a half before then lumping it long because there was no other choice. Obviously you can't play his interview afterwards until next week, but he even said he was just enjoying it, you know, and the fitness levels are much higher than they were before because training is now fierce during the week, especially early part of the week. So and he said that and Bowyer's a midfield player was a combative midfield player, so he's gonna, I'd imagine the demands on the midfield are slightly higher than perhaps they would be the rest of the side
with Reeves. It's not just the work rate as well that he brings. Like, I don't know if anyone realises, but he brings so much hassling. Mm. We seem to be defending from the front when he's around a lot better and hassling down. So alongside the football he actually brings and the quality footballer we all know he is. So.
Mm. Right, we had a tweet from Artful Dodger as well. Actually, he's just replying to the picture of the Upbeats. They were there yesterday getting their trophy for winning the tournament. It's one of the DS tournaments that they win every year. They got their trophy again. It says they really do bring magic to the games. It was always great to see the chaps on the pitch. Right, John says, best match I've seen for a while at the Valley. Both teams deserve praise. Charlton for keeping going and Plymouth for their effort. And, I mean, there was a lot of guile from Argyle yesterday, wasn't there, in terms of throwing their bodies in front of the ball, and that's why it was getting so frustrating at times that second half, because we were having the chances but they were blocking them and they were putting their bodies on the line.
Yeah, and we said on Thursday's show we expected them to come and sit back, and I think that goal came out of nowhere, and a couple of times they loosened up a bit and they stretched their legs and they came forward. I think the start of the second half in particular was probably the most attacking they were at any point during the game, but when they did sit back and frustrate us, which, as I say, we were kind of expecting, you've got to give them credit for doing that, because it's not pretty to watch from our point of view, but it's not an easy job to do, because when you're getting battered and battered and battered, it'd be very easy to, like Bowyer said, concede six or seven goals, and they didn't, and that's credit to them. But you always, as a football fan, I think you always want the team that's attacking and trying to win the game to come through, and obviously that's what happened.
Not sure how they're down there, to be honest, at the moment. No, really not sure.
It's exactly the same last season. Don't forget, they only won one game in their opening 14 last season. That was against us at Home Park on the second weekend of the season, a 2-0 win. Graham Carey, who scored the goal yesterday, I remember being very impressed with him last season. Here at the Valley, just it's a music sign again in the background. Just in case you're wondering, there's a dance class going on next door, and they went quiet for a while. Well, Terry's going to go and have a go at them, but yes, you might get that a little bit of that. Right, Flaggy, you said, I only have one thing to say. Yesterday, Bowyer had a dream to build a football team. He had no money, so he had to sign someone loan. We play from the back with Grant in attack. We're Charlton Athletic, and we're on our way back. He says, for sure. Love from Flaggy. Thanks for getting involved. Glenn says, it doesn't get to a lot of chances to go to the Valley these days, as I have a 6-month-old boy. So it's the ever-present Louis Mendez that I depend on for updates. Oh, thanks, Glenn. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
How depressing it is depending on Louis for anything.
Yeah, literally for anything. A sad state of events. Right, Connor says, Bowyer has given us something to believe in. He certainly does, doesn't he? I mean, remember at the start of the season, I remember chatting to you in the Sunderland press box before the game, and we were genuinely saying we could go down this season.
I mean, we've given Bowyer plenty of credit, and it's fully deserved. He's pulled the team and the squad and the club together, really, and you can see that it's a fun place to work, but also you can tell that he manages those players with a lot of discipline as well, and it's obviously a very fine line to get right, but it's one that he is getting right, and it looks like a fun fun team to play for. It's an enjoyable club to come and watch again, which I don't think it has been in previous years. And you always look, and I always remember, obviously we had Kerbs for so long, and you always look for someone who's kind of proper Charlton within the club. And for a long time, that was Jacko on the pitch. And I always worried about what would happen when he stepped away from playing. And obviously, he's still in the backroom staff, so that helps. But again, Bowyer just kind of gets the club. And he mentioned it in his press day on, was it? It might have even been yesterday, about the fact that it's a family club. And he just understands it. And when you've got someone doing that, it's, you can't underestimate it, because the fans, the way the fans were yesterday is because of all of that. And Bowyer is so responsible for everything that's going on. And he just deserves so much praise, because he's working on pretty much on nothing, and he's just getting performances out of all these players.
Always easy to forget this is his first job in management. He's barely been a coach for a year, has he? I mean, he had a few years out of the game after he retired. He was off on his carp pond place, wherever it was, doing fishing, and he's come back in. It's just by chance that he went to help out Harry Kewell at Watford with the 23s, where by all accounts Harry Kewell didn't actually do that good a job with the 23s at Watford, but he's gone in to do well at Crawley, got his job at Notts County now. So clearly someone, you know, with a reasonable level of experience to work with, or knowledge to work with. And Bowyer's come in, you know, he's the right-hand man to Carl Robinson for a while. Again, you know, you learn some things from Carl Robinson, but you certainly didn't learn the tactical dexterity that he's shown so far from Carl, did he? So he's brought a lot of his own flavour to the squad as well.
I like the fact that, you know, if we're behind, or, you know, the formation, he's happy to change it up. We've had, you know, fair play to Robinson, he stuck to his guns, and that's what he wanted to do. But everyone knew what we were going to do. You don't know what you're going to get with our team. Is it going to be 4-4-2? We're doing the diamond, three at the back, and that's good that you can change it up and have those players to do it. So, you know, he's got a good tactical brain by looks.
I guess the only thing we'll know now, that until we at least get Bilic back, with Bauer out now for a couple of months, and we probably won't have the personnel to play three at the back, I think, for the next couple of weeks.
Almost certainly not. No, I mean, I think by what he said earlier, he's not going to risk just throwing Bilic in. And I think that's another good thing that, I mean, it might sound frustrating, but, you know, I think in years past and seasons past, we would have, as soon as somebody could walk, they'd have been thrown in the side because we were that desperate for bodies. Whereas Lee Bowyer, I think probably because of his playing days, knows that the demands on a player's body are such that you just throw them in, they're just going to break down, and that's no use to anybody. So as much as it might be frustrating, we might have to put up with the odd frustrating game because some players aren't available, he's not prepared to risk the future for the present.
Certainly.
The next month's key as well, because October, you've got the Saturday-Tuesday start coming in, so you've got those three games in a week, and that's going to be a little bit more tested on the team and the squad.
Yeah, I've already got my Scunthorpe hotel booked up. You can't spend too many nights in Scunthorpe in your life, and that'll be my second or third, I think. Looking forward to it. Mega bus job.
You interviewed that woman by Tesco before.
Yeah, that's how bored I was. I started interviewing randoms outside Tesco.
What about their shopping?
Great days.
Well, no, yeah, I asked her what there was to do in Scunthorpe.
What's in your bag?
I asked her what there was to do in Scunthorpe, trying to make a feature about my day in the town, and she went, don't know. Right, F. James, performance was shaky. The players looked nervous. They gave the ball away early on, but they grew in confidence as the game went on. I was relieved at the end and felt lucky, but we are a class outfit. Keep going, lads. The title is yours to lose.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a bold statement from Ev. He's not afraid of making the bold statements, especially about winning the title or being up there in that top two. We're a point behind Sunderland now. I was looking at league table. We're a point behind Sunderland.
It's one of those things. If we can maintain this level of performance, then the victories will come. And who knows? I mean, I've got to be honest. Yes, I'm more confident at this part of the season than I've been for a while. Even when we done that under Robinson, I wasn't overly confident. I thought we were maybe punching a bit above our weight then. But now, with the with the players we've got on the pitch and the players we've got still to come back, there's just a positive vibe about the players.
It's just the levels of uncertainty I have. It's just, I mean, because we had that injury crisis at the start of the season. There's no reason why that couldn't come back.
Yeah, and the squad is still an issue, but we'll see what happens when we get to January. But I agree with Terry. I really do think we could do it. I said playoffs from the start. I know we were talking at Sunderland about the relegation, but I honestly did think we'd make playoffs. But I think we could get in that top two. Nobody I've seen this season that we've played has scared us. I thought Peterborough, we deserved to win. Sunderland, we were unlucky. The draws against Accrington and Fleetwood were, were just a bit poor, really, but that was more down to us. And then everybody else we've beaten. Portsmouth is going to be tough. Barnsley maybe will be up there as well. But I'm honestly not intimidated by any of the teams down here. And we're playing good football. And like I say, we did win four in a row last year, and that tailed off. But if we can keep this momentum going, then winning's a habit, isn't it? And they just don't look like losing at the moment.
Bob Liskin, reacting to my line, some carp pond thingy, has sent me a link to the website of Lee Bowyer's fishing lake. It's called, not a carp pond. So there you go. Right,
I can't see it being as successful as if it was called a carp pond thingy.
Yeah, well, if, you know, it might appeal to me, people like me who know absolutely nothing about fishing. Jimmy Seed says, Lapsley was the best performing player at half-time. Skills, reckon he should have been given 15 or 20 minutes as the player's tired. I have to admit, I wasn't really watching the warm-ups at half-time, so was he juggling the ball well? Or?
Don't know. No. In the bar.
Yeah, Jimmy's the only person who noticed that, obviously, because I didn't notice it either. I had to just get up and stretch.
Fair enough. So. Sammy said that thought the first half was the best midfield performance from the whole unit, Aribo, Reeves, Cullen and Ward, that I have seen in over 50 years at the Valley. They looked unplayable. Terry, I mean, you have been about for 50 years.
I hark back to the period when we had that midfield. Again, it was a midfield diamond of sadly, I'm going to mention his name, I know you probably shouldn't, the man whose name should not be made, who's on BBC, a pundit from time to time, but we had Gishy Sheff, and we had Bent running virtually on his own up front, but we had a midfield that had that sort of interplay passing and then exploded, or the forwards exploded either side of them and down the front with Bent. And it's similar to that. You know, looking at it yesterday, the movement, and everybody knew, seemed to know at least, where the Charlton player was going to be. They didn't have to think about it. You know, the ball inside would always find a player, either Cullen or Ward or Reeves. Solly, when he played the ball, would always find somebody. There was that out ball down the line for either Grant or Taylor. It's exciting. And the sad thing is, we say, well, we haven't played well consistently throughout the game. You've got to expect that other teams are going to try and stop that by fair means or foul, and Plymouth did that to a certain extent at some points yesterday. So, you know, we're going to come up against teams who are going to nullify us, but as long as you've got that class, if you if it's a boring nil-nil and you can just do it twice and unlock them twice, that's good enough.
I like the fact Sammy mentioned over 50 years of being at the Valley. Yesterday my dad was here, and it was his 50th anniversary game. So you had yours last year, didn't you?
You got a stat on this, you should say it.
So basically, my dad was here yesterday. his first game was 50 years ago. A couple of weeks more, just the way the fixtures fell. They played Portsmouth here in September 1968. The game finished 2-1 to Charlton, and Charlton missed a penalty. So at half-time, when I tweeted that out at half-time, when it was 1-0 and we missed a penalty, I knew we were winning 2-1. Yeah. It was also Vince. Everyone knows Vince Nitschwich. I don't know how to pronounce his surname, really. I think that's a good guess. He was his 45th anniversary yesterday as well. He was very excitedly telling me when I went into the bar yesterday. So well done to Vince as well. He's very much an ever-present at home and away games, Vince. 45 years. He would have been on about 20 then when he ran on the pitch to greet Derek Hales at the Back to the Valley game. Right, London Nick Geezer says, I thought it was a really impressive performance and Plymouth hardly threatened at all. It's true, I can't remember other than their goal, too many chances in the first half. And then, like I say, second half, they had that one that hit the bar. And then one that Carey lifted over the bar about 5 minutes before we scored. And then that one that looked like it'd gone in just after... from fault.
It wasn't too many, was it?
No, but I guess you don't really expect that from... they had 9 shots throughout the entire game, which we all looked up for Derek Adams, but I was just moaning about. Because I don't know if that would have been funny if I had just pointed out, you only had 9, Derek, that's why we won and you didn't, but he would have then had a go at me. We were talking about him after. After he left the room, I just said to Chris, well, does he do that often? And then Rich started coming over saying, oh, Derek Adams seems like, and then the door opened.
And he was there.
Really? And we were all silent. I said, Derek Adams seems like the sort of guy who can listen through a door, yeah. Daniel Traven says, great performance yesterday. Aribo and Reeves were quality. Front two looked dangerous. Crowd were behind the team from start to finish. Positive atmosphere. Daniel said he's still looking for one ticket for Luton away. I did DM you from the Charlton Live account yesterday, Daniel. So hopefully if you look in your messages, you might have a message from us. There was someone who had one spare, but if not, if anyone has got a spare Luton ticket, Daniel's still after one. So get in contact with Charlton Live and we'll put you in contact with Daniel. Right, Sebo, Lili Boya hinting that my 1,000th consecutive game will be slightly delayed to Doncaster unless Walsall gets rescheduled to the week between Rochdale and Donny. But to be fair, it would be a pragmatic move to postpone the Walsall game if we had enough call-ups. And that's certainly what everyone's sort of been saying on the quiet over the last couple of weeks as we're expecting the game to be off. Right, Richard Justin said, is Scott Goulburn training with us, an experienced left-back? Anyone heard that? I can't say I've heard that, but...
I know the name of the player.
I've seen it on Twitter that somebody else said that, but I haven't heard anything other than what's been rumoured.
It wouldn't be a bad signing, to be honest.
We've had it before, though, where players are literally just training with us just to keep the fitness up. Yeah.
So Dean Lewington, wasn't it?
Yeah, Dean Lewington. You know, he called the former Milton Keynes manager something that meant he had to leave Milton Keynes for a little while, and then when that manager got sacked, he got told he could go back. Right, we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. Still to come on tonight's show, we've still got your emails about yesterday's game. We're also going to hear from Amelia Ritchie, the goal scorer for Charlton Athletic Women earlier on today as well, during the 2-2 draw with Durham. So let's have a very quick break, and we'll be back here in 30 seconds or so.
It's a stiff one. Oh.
Be occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, what a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo, with a calm left-footed volley, have found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. Louis Mendes, Tom Wallin, Paul Crisp and Terry Smith in the studio. It's a packed studio here. When we're winning, everyone wants to come in. We're all glory hunters. All glory hunters, all of you. Dan said, evening boys, impressed with Reeves yesterday. Best game in our shirt. Great to be a team that scores late winners up to six. Hopefully can catch up with Peterborough over the next few games. And he managed to get a Luton ticket as well. So well done. Yeah, sold out away end at Luton next week. It's going to be brilliant. Down at Kenilworth Road, I imagine the atmosphere will be good. It's not too far out of London as well, so it should be a great away day. He reiterated about the Reeves performance, and also Peterborough, I mean, they could be within our sight. So like I said, we're 1 point behind Sunderland, so Peterborough are on 22, we're on 17, so we're only 5 behind them. Very early days still, so you know, for what Ev James said earlier about champions being within our sights, I mean, it's certainly not out of the question in terms of where we are in the league at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be whether we can maintain it, whether we keep the squad fit enough, all of that kind of stuff. I think there are other squads that are better equipped over the course of a season to be up there. As I say, I think top six is more than achievable. Top two is a bit harder and obviously slightly less likely, but there's no reason we can't do it. It'd be nice to beat Peterborough at Wembley, wouldn't it, in the playoff final, just to see Steve Evans' face.
That big geezer.
That'd be good, yeah.
He famously, when he was Rotherham manager, and beat
trousers Lainor, fell down.
Yeah, he was running down the touchline at Wembley. All the grace and decorum of
some goal though.
Yeah,
it was a good goal, but his trousers fell down. Yeah. That was funny.
He always looks like a man who, like, I don't know if it's possible for humans to actually explode, but if it was, he would do it. Right, London at Geezer, Lyle and Carlin are a Hales and Flanagan-esque partnership up top.
Expect a punch up any day now.
That'd be awful, wouldn't it, if it just ruined everything. Sebo saying, I actually saw Derek Adams outside the West Stand about 15 minutes after the game yesterday. He had a face like thunder. I'm not surprised by that at all. Right, let's have a look at some of the emails. In fact, the first one was a DM that came in from Charlton Soul, and they say, style, tactics and over-complimented formations don't do anything below the championship. League One is about grit, hard work and no egos. Powell's side never had a distinctive brand of football, but they had heart. Bowyer seems to understand this. Fans seem to understand it too. You won't go down to the Valley and be blown away by a football masterclass, but you will go down and be expected to join the players throughout the long process that is League One football. As a result, you'll have more of a connection with your club than the big money elite at the top could ever dream of. I mean, at the same time, I do think we actually play some decent football. There's grit and determination there, and you need to have the right mix. But at times, yesterday, we played some nice stuff.
Yeah, we are playing some nice stuff, but I totally agree what Bowyer says, you know, in regards to 100%, just, you know, 100% effort from the team. The fans are going to get behind you, and then the results will come. And it's quite interesting you said about the kind of PAL team that won League One with, 101 points, whatever it was. But yeah, we didn't play great football for a lot of that season, but we got those gritty 1-0 wins, and that's what you need to do.
I think last week summed that up, the Bradford game. You know, in the first half where we blew them away and played some lovely football, you expect teams to come at us from time to time and try and stifle us, out-battle us, and we had to fight in that second half against Bradford. I don't think last season we would have had a side that could do that, whereas this season we have, and Powell's side that won the championship definitely had that. You know, we had people who could stick their foot in when they had to, and I think we've got that again.
Chris Davin, evening Chris, says a great day at the Valley, thoroughly entertained from the first to the last minute. Excellent, free-flowing passing football. Can't fault anyone in a red shirt, though. Special mention for Naby Sarr, didn't put a foot wrong and dominant all game. Let's talk about Nabs, actually, because I don't think we have too much. I still am very nervous when he's in possession, but that's my fault now and not his, because I don't think he gave the ball away too much yesterday when he was keeping his foot on it longer than perhaps he should have.
Yeah, he had one little muck-up, I think, in the first half. I think that was more the pass that was given to him more than anything. I think he had a really good game yesterday. I think it helps having Pearce next to him for me, because Pearce, you know, is in charge, and I think that helps Naby. I also like the fact that we seem to start a lot of our attacks from Naby's left foot, because he seems to push off to the left to Lewis Page, but puts it in front of Page, so Page is on the front foot to then go and whip the ball in or start the attack. So, no, he thought we played really well.
Yeah, excellent. Right, Chris's email continues. The fans were quality, got behind the lads the whole game. The North Upper was rocking. Going a goal behind, missing a penalty, did nothing to knock the team or the fans' confidence. Yeah, I liked the way the fans were singing Lyle Taylor's name just after the penalty miss. They really stuck behind him. If everything could be this real forever, if anything could be this good again, the only thing I'll ever ask of you got to promise not to stop when I say when. It's another song lyric, I think. It's a CFC thing. Bring on the bleeding Luton. Can't bleeding wait. Let's. Lee and the boys are going places, and it's going to be some ride, baby. Thanks for your email there, Chris Davin. It's clearly getting into the spirit of things, and it's great to see everyone so positive as well. And we've very good reason to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It does feel very different. And the end of last season felt like this as well, when we went on that run. You think of Portsmouth away, the Blackburn game here, the Plymouth game here, Shrewsbury away when we beat them towards the end of the season in the league before the playoffs. It was good fun, and it hadn't been fun for quite a while, I don't think. Even when we were up there before, it just felt like a real struggle, and now it doesn't. It's enjoyable, and I look forward to coming down to the Valley. And yeah, the numbers aren't as good as we would like, and people have got their reasons for that. But if we can create atmospheres like yesterday, then it's going to be a difficult place to come.
Right, Ben Plummer, evening. Ben says, hi guys, went to my first game of the season yesterday, and what a game it was. Was surprised when Plymouth took the lead and thought it might be another one of those days, but the lads responded well and played some really positive attacking football, which I haven't seen for a while. He says, don't get to go to games too often. Only saw Wigan and Scunthorpe at home last year. So Wigan we lost 3-0. Scunthorpe we beat, didn't we? Yeah, so it went.
Was it no, lost to Scunthorpe as well.
Did we?
Lost 1-0 to Scunthorpe.
I was thinking the season before when Tony Watt scored the penalty. Is that not?
Those were the days.
All right, Ben, you're lucky we still let you come. there was lots of slick interchanges and 1-2s, which was nice to see. All of the players contributed well, and the momentum really started to build in the last half hour of the game. Really didn't think it was going to be our day as the minutes kept going, but when Carlin scored that goal, the feeling was amazing. The crowd were really good yesterday, getting behind the lads for the whole game, and the volume really increased in the last 15 minutes with every corner we were getting. The atmosphere was incredible, considering the attendance. There was just over 10,000, I think. Really exciting game overall, but I had my heart in my mouth when the Plymouth player volleyed wide from the edge of the box with a few minutes left. Felt Ward play particularly well, as did Cullen, Reeves and Taylor, but Sarr, wow, he was solid yesterday, apart from the one time where he overran the ball. He was always looking to play the ball forward, and not always the easy ones. A crossfield ball to Solly in the first half was a peach. Feel confident with him stepping in for Bauer for now. Let's keep this form going. Because back on Nabs again, I mean, has he ever had a run of more than five or six games for us? I can't remember that.
We couldn't
happening.
Think of it, could we? Yeah, when we were talking about it on Thursday.
So it will be interesting to see how he handles that.
Yeah, yeah, and he's still a relatively young player, and he's not had a lot of experience for us. And the experiences he did have at the early part of his career with us were not good ones. So I think he's doing well. I said to Crispy off air, it's just he gets that glint in his eye occasionally, and you know he's about to go on some mad run. And that still makes me nervous. But as you said earlier, that's more down to us than him, because actually he's putting in quite a lot of assured performances, and he's got himself a couple of goals already as well, one in pre-season and one, was it in the Checker trade, he got one. So Yeah, he's a good little player to have around. And, you know, obviously when Bauer's back fit, I would expect Bauer to come back in and play alongside Pearce, but he's more than capable of doing the job in the meantime.
Could he have had a penalty in the second half?
Well, now, this is interesting. So, Ollie Groom seems to think that he was the only one in the entire stadium to see this. So, no, I didn't see it.
Yeah, he was going mental.
Yeah,
right?
Me and Rich, neither me or Rich noticed it to tweet.
I think I said it at the time.
You said it as
I'm pretty sure I thought he had it.
So I didn't see it at all, so I can't even tell you what happened.
Yeah, he was wrestled to the ground.
He was pulled down.
In the penalty area. And, I mean, Naby Sarr's a lot of things, but you don't expect him to go absolutely ballistic. He said it, he admits it himself. He's far too nice. The squad are trying to make him more like Jason Pearce, is basically what they're telling him. And he said, it's not going to happen, is it, really?
No.
He's too nice. So for him to go that mental, and he was seriously, like, gritted teeth up at the ref.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't happen unless something's happened to him. And
I thought
it was.
I thought he was going to score off the next corner because he went. I think he went back again for a second corner, and that none of their players went anywhere near him for that one. So if they'd have managed to find him, he had a free header.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
Right, Peter Boddy gets involved. Says Louis and the gang. I listen to the podcast every week. Immensely enjoyable show and a great source of information regarding anything Charlton. Oh, thanks for that. Peter said my first visit to the Valley was back in 1964, where my dad took me to see the Addicts take on Plymouth. I was taken aback by the vast East Stand, and that just seemingly went on upwards forever. There was no segregation then, and my dad got chatting to a Plymouth supporter. I believe my dad received training there during World War II. A 1-0 victory ensued for the Addicts, and I soon became hooked, remembering the likes of Mike Kenning, Len Glover, John Huey, Eddie Firmani, Brian Kinsey, to name but a few. And don't forget to add Ray Crawford to your list of established goal scorers, although his best striking days had probably passed him when he joined us. Left dear old Blighty to live in Minnesota in 1995. The internet was in its infancy, so I would listen to the football results on BBC World Service, but didn't always hear the results. So, so-and-so too, Charlton at the crackle, fade, pop, or words to that effect. So it's always nice to get a considered view of the matchday proceedings, as I find the written reports, rightly or wrongly, to be somewhat biased. The Plymouth Rags seem to suggest that the Pilgrims deserved a draw yesterday. Lee Bowyer is doing a great job, as are all the backroom staff with limited resources. Onward up and upwards, and keep up the good work, Louis and the gag. And that's from Pete Bods. Cheers for that, Bods. He said the Plymouth Rags thought that Plymouth deserved a draw.
Really?
Maybe I should have a go at Chris Errington now. I should join Derek Adams.
I think you've probably got to give him a bit of slack because having. You know, been at one all right until the last minute. I think the mentality would be that they probably thought they should have scraped a draw.
As the away team, you think, oh, they threw the body on the line a lot. Yeah. But in terms of chances, there was only ever going to be one.
The reality is we were the better side. We had the more chances, the better chances.
Yeah.
The fact that we didn't convert them isn't down to just down to their good play. It was down to the fact that we didn't do it. But I'd cut him a bit of slack.
Some great names on that list there that Pete sent in, the likes of Mike Kenning, Len Glover, John Huey, Eddie Firmani, Brian Kinsey, and then Ray Crawford. I mean, I could see your eyes were lighting up there, Tom.
Yeah, no, well, I was 3 years later than that, but the strike partnership that I sort of fell in love with actually probably a year later was Tees and Tracy.
Yeah.
But Brian Kinsey and Keith Peacock when he comes along, obviously glassy eyed at those names.
Yeah, and living over in Minnesota, it must be a relief out of the way that technology has come on now, that you can actually listen to Terry and Greg in your,
or not as a case maybe.
wherever you are, and or get contact to the game as well. So cheers for your email, Pete. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Right, Connor says, hiya, we won the hard way yesterday, which is a good sign. Plymouth looked decent and caused problems. We finished the game well and deserved the 3 points. For Jamie Ward caused problems, as he always found space, and it was typical Igor to be in the 6-yard area to scuff the ball back for Grant. He said Luton will be hard next week, but we look confident. PS, we're on our way. We're Charlton and we're on our way back. Excellent stuff. I mean, let's talk about Igor then, because we had in our little group chat earlier, Tom, I did say that I'm still ever so slightly waiting to be proved how good Igor is now, because when he first came in three, four years ago, he's one of the best strikers I've ever seen down here. And as soon as he got his injury, he's never looked the same player, and now he's going to be slowly eased back in, and he's still yet to prove it for me that he's going to be the same player as he was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I wonder whether we'll ever see that. The type of injury it is, I remember, might have even been when Finchie was on the show, I remember him saying that one of the medical staff at the time said, when you do that injury, you're just never quite the same player, because you always worry that you're going to do it again. So if he just drops off everything by 1%, 2%, that's the difference, even at this level, between scoring and not scoring, or being a good player or a very good player. So it's really frustrating. We do have to be careful with him, and I don't think we've really seen enough of him yet this season to judge him. But he will get his chances, and you know, towards the end of the season, he might play a key part in games. And yeah, it's very early to judge. I just really hope he can get back up to the player he was, because as you say, when he first came, he was a dangerous little player.
Do you know, I don't know if anybody saw it, but the Michael Owen interview.
Mm. Which one? You talk about the one on the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
That was good.
Where he explained that he also had these suspect hamstrings that are always going to go. And the one that really went really badly, because the medical treatment wasn't around then, or they just missed it. And I seem to remember that, didn't he play on, like, he came back a couple of times. He went and he came back and he went and he came back.
Yeah, kept breaking down.
And what happens is, when it's not treated properly, it reattaches. And so the hamstring is actually shorter than it was when he was flying. So there's two things. There's one, in his mind, he knows, or he's probably fearful that it's going to go again. And two, because it's shorter, he's physically not able to run as quick as he was, as he could have done before. So I think it's a bit how he adapts to that, really. And whether we get we're not going to get the same Igor back, I don't think it's possible. But if we can get an Igor back that still has an eye for goal, better than yesterday, then he's going to be a worthy addition. And I mentioned it off air, you know, Taylor's one booking away from being suspended for a game, so we're going to need him at some point during the season.
Yeah, right. Rodder says, hi guys, you already know I think this team is definitely going to get a playoff spot at least, really enjoying the football. Sadly, can't make the next home game, as going to a leaving do the night before, so no doubt I'll have a hangover, which is negative. But it says, negative, very concerned that we concede poor goals, but at this level, I'm not too concerned, as not all League One sides have really decent strikers who will punish you. What we lack in defence, we make up in midfield and attack. It was great to see happy faces at games. Now fans getting behind the team even when things are not going for you. It's summed up when five guys in front of me, whom I'd not seen before, it was their first game, but will give each other high fives after we won. I'm going home after game smiling after a win, waking up on a Sunday happy that we won and happy all week long. May it continue. Certainly I was still feeling very pleased this morning, remembering that goal, and everyone's enjoying it. Right, we got an email in from Paul O'Donnell. Says, I was listening in Belgium as usual on Saturday. I've realised that due to the delay on the ISDN line, the live commentary on Valley Pass can be a couple of minutes behind the action. That's fairly standard on internet-based commentary. It's always, unfortunately. He says, I have recently taken to looking at the same time at the live League One scores on flashscore.com. Where goals tend to flash up very quickly and long before they're reflected in the commentary. However, I have noticed in the past that sometimes they jump the gun. A score changes only to be corrected a couple of minutes later after the goal has been disallowed. So after Carlin's second goal yesterday, the Plymouth effort that went behind and moved to the back of the net from the outside was flashed up as a Plymouth equaliser. I then had an agonising wait, as within the following couple of minutes on live commentary, there was no mention of a Plymouth goal. It came as a huge relief when the word correction flashed up and the winning goal was restored.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I'm not sure if my heart can handle that kind of mistake before. It happens all the time. So I've got... It must be the same company that sends these updates out all to the different websites. I use goal.com on my phone. And I remember they flashed up that we'd scored against Fleetwood when Lapsley's header was cleared off the line. They flashed up, and then they disallowed goals all the time. So I remember I went to a Bromley game once. I could only get there at half time. Ollie was there, and I said to him, "What happened with this disallowed goal?" And he went, "What disallowed goal?" I said, "The ball hasn't been anywhere near the goal." So someone, whoever's in charge, obviously accidentally pressed goal, and they just disallowed it. So yeah, a bit of confusion. That's why Valley Pass and Twitter are always the best places to follow the game. BBC Radio London as well, of course. Right.
I love hearing about the different way fans celebrate goals. You know, the five people you've never seen before coming back and slapping your high fives and cuddling you and that. Whereas Crispy knees concrete.
Go on, Crispy, you tell the story. Tom, can you get the keys?
What are you pointing for? Yeah, so I sit in the front row of the North Upper, so I have the concrete kind of wall in front of me. And I went a little bit too mad when Carlin scored, and now I've got a relatively bruised knee and I'm struggling to walk on the left side. So happy days.
You got to love a goal scoring injury. Like London Eagle says, let's not forget that Bauer won't be with us next season. He has said he wants to bugger off, so I'd stick with Saar and Pierce, and Ray saying congratulations to Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson for building a Charlton team to be proud of again. I can't bring myself to give this owner my hard-earned money, but hopefully sooner rather than later I can come back to the club I grew up to love. Right, let's focus on Charlton Athletic women quickly, because we're running out of time, and we need to speak about them because they got a superb result up at Durham earlier on this afternoon. Long old trip to play. Obviously, we went and saw them on Wednesday evening when they beat Aston Villa 2-0 at home. This was their second league game of the season. They were a goal down after 20-odd minutes. Kit Graham equalised almost straight away, her first league goal of the season. Then, almost straight away again, we were 2-1 down. But then in the second half, it looks like we absolutely battered them, Durham. And it was late on that Amelia Ritchie scored the leveller. I spoke to her. She scored the equaliser late on and said that they deserved their point on the road.
Yeah, no, definitely. Second half, we put on a lot of pressure and we generally deserved to get the 3 points, but it was good to come away with a point in the end. Yeah. Also, travelling this far, we didn't want to come back with nothing. So, yeah, it was good to get the point.
It sounded like you were really knocking at the door for that closing sort of 15 minutes in particular when the goal came.
Yeah, it was constant pressure from us, really. Just constantly trying to find a way through, and eventually we did to get the point. So, yeah, that was good.
To talk us through your goal, was it a header from a corner?
Yep, don't really score headers or any goals really, so it was quite a surprise. I just saw it and turned my head and top right corner it went.
And obviously Kit got the opening goal as well. It was a bit of a flurry of goals really in the first half. You went a goal down, got level almost immediately, and then a goal down again. But to see Kit on the score sheet, I mean, she deserved to go on Wednesday night from what I saw. So good to see her off and running now for the season as well.
Yeah, no, it's always good to see her off and running. She worked so hard, and you know, she deserves to get all the goals. So yeah, it was just a crazy few minutes really. So they scored, and then we scored, and then 2 minutes later they scored. So it was to find our feet and get the ball moving again.
Still very much a case of trying to sort of find your feet in the Championship now. After the step up, I guess you don't really know where you are in comparison to the other teams. So coming away from Durham with a point overall, are you pleased with that? Do you think you could have beaten them? You could have done more?
Yeah, I mean, we could have snatched 3 points. So it's kind of good in a way that we came away thinking that we could have beaten them, because they're an established side in this league. So, you know, working hard against them and getting a point is what we, you know, what we wanted. So, yeah, it's all about working hard and seeing where we can end up in this league, really.
Mm. Yeah, because 4 points out of the first two games hasn't been a bad start at all.
Yeah, no, couldn't really ask for much better, really. Except obviously 3 points today, but wasn't meant to be, and it was good to get the point.
Mm. And how has it been with all the travelling? Because I guess the league last year was obviously more of a southern league, and this year it's going to be up and down the country every other week, it seems.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of travelling, but, you know, we got a great bunch of girls, so it makes it easier, you know, when you're on long journeys. We all go on so well, so it's not too bad. We just have to go out there and put on the performance.
Mm. From a personal point of view, you got called up to the Wales squad, so I guess that's always an honour for you.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back involved. It's been quite a while, obviously, through injury and stuff. I haven't been called up, so it's good to get the call back, and hopefully I can just push on from now.
Mm. Excellent. And just finally then, so, I mean, what are your personal aims for the club for the season? What do you think the Charlton can achieve this year?
I personally think we can challenge at the top. I mean, I know Man U are full-time and they're doing really well at the moment, but excluding them, I feel like we've got the team to challenge and get as high as possible in the league.
There's Amelia Ritchie there after her equaliser about 5-10 minutes from the end of the game. Earned Charlton women a point up on the road at Durham. Long old journey. They went up last night staying in Newcastle. It is quite a bit of a adjustment that they have to now get used to the fact they will be playing a lot of games in the north of the country rather in a southern league, which they were in last year. And if you are going all that way, I guess it makes it more worthwhile to try and come home with something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's not just the distances, it's the quality as well. I mean, Durham finished fourth in the Championship last season in their league. They were voted the club of the year, and you know, they progressed from, well, I think they started about 5 years ago, they progressed every year since, so they're a, you know, established side and a difficult side to come up against, especially in your first season up. So a draw, and it sounded like it could have been much better, is a fantastic result. They're on top of the the victory against Villa. It's a great start.
Yeah, pleased with the way they've started the season so far. Talk about Man United is going to be the team that's going to win that league. There's no question about that.
Well, when you throw the sort of money they have, yeah, it's a bit difficult not to.
You know, I've getting up as high as possible will be an achievement for Ritesh and the girls. And we hope they can do that. Don't forget, I think they're at home next Sunday. We'll talk about it on Thursday if we get a chance.
Lewis, I think.
Yeah, at home to Lewis on Sunday over at VCD or the Oakwood in Crayford. Like I said, we went down there on Wednesday and it's a good experience to go and watch them. And like I say, it's really local to most people. I think it's only about £6 to get in as well, so it's worthwhile getting down there if you can. Right, we've pretty much run out of time, but I guess we will just say, I mean, Crispy, it's your first time you've been in this so far this season. We've all discussed what we think we can achieve this year. I mean, how far do you see Charlton going this year?
I think we'll top six, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not try and push for that top two? I don't think that there's a standout team, that's for sure. I actually thought, you know, thinking about the game yesterday, I thought Plymouth were probably better than what Peterborough were when they came down here, to be quite honest. But no, I think that the squad is capable enough of being top six for sure. As Tom says, it's got to keep it fit. It'll be interesting to see where we are come Christmas. If we're in that kind of top three, top four, then there's any chance we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the longevity of the squad, like I mentioned earlier, that slightly worries me, but certainly the quality of the squad now is better, even better than the start of the season. I was worried at the start of the season when I saw the likes of Lapsley and you know, Abby Morgan and stuff in squads, but they've stepped up as well and proven to be better than I was probably giving them credit for. So fair play to them. Right, we have run out of time, Charlton Live. It's been a good show. It's always nice to come in here on a Sunday evening after we've won yet another game, particularly when it was a last-minute one. Like we heard there, Carlin Grant with his brace, his fifth goal of the season, gets him level pegging with Lyle Taylor. That's going to be an interesting competition as the year goes on as well. But we'll see. Right, thank you to all of you who listened and got involved. Thank you, Tom Wanley, for coming
in. Cheers, Louis.
Cheers, Crispy, for coming
in. Thank you very much, mate.
Always good to see you, Terry Smith.
Cheers, thanking you.
We'll be back here on Thursday evening with the big match preview to look ahead to next Saturday's game away at Luton. So we hope to see you then on Thursday evening as well. So I hope you've enjoyed this evening's show. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for tuning in. And we shall see you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.